I know how that is. I sure do. Anyway, I'm gonna let you go because there's probably other people that want to check in. And I'll just say Merry Christmas and Happy Thanksgiving to you. And we'll look forward to seeing you soon.
Well, I hadn't forgot. I promised you I'd come over and get you and take you and get a cup of coffee. Maybe I can do that next week. I'll give you a call and make sure that you can be there. Don't have any doctor's appointments or anything like that, and I'll come on over and we'll just go out and have a cup of coffee and sit down and chew the fat for a while. Hadn't done that in a while, and I'd love to get over there and see Barbara and the grandkids and everybody again. But I didn't do that before Christmas. But I hope y'all have a happy Thanksgiving tomorrow. Thanks for talking with us a little bit. Enjoyed it. And, we'll just have to, I don't know what we'll have to do about our insurance, Steve, but I don't know. But I hope y'all have a great evening, what's left of it, and a wonderful, wonderful day tomorrow. And we'll talk to you a little bit later. 73, my friend. Do we have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for Blue Ridge 2-meter net? KI4DOS. That up is KK4JBQ. That's Mr. Larry over there in Greer. Mr. Larry, we won't talk too loud. We'll keep it a little the volume down a little bit in case Miss Donna doses off. I have you and Miss Donna been today. Hope y'all had a wonderful day.
DOS. This is KK4JBQ. Well, yes, it was a good day. Today was the day that I confirmed that the radio in the automobile doesn't work because of a blown fuse. And I learned a few things about the automobile. What they call a fuse is a tiny little multi-miniature thing that looks like an ordinary fuse. But because they had to put 30 of them in the fuse box, it's amazing to look at that and see all those fuses and imagine the amount of electrical circuits that are within a modern automobile. And this is, you know, not to be exact for any reason, it's more than 10-year-old vehicle, right? But there must be miles of wire in the side of the thing. For all the fuses, and they're tiny. They're just really tiny, less than, I guess they're about 3/4 of an inch across, and real thin, you know, little plug-in fuses. So to get a grip on them, they give you something like little tweezers right inside the fuse box, and you snap that little tweezer down on the top of the fuse, pinch it at the top, and yank her out of there. But you have to have it again, you know, to put it in because it's so tiny. It's just very difficult to hold. And I have hands that have worked on watches, for crying out loud. Not big, clumsy hands that like my dad had. He had, you know, farmer's hands. He was a farmhand back in his day. The glory, I just. And there are, now this is another thing, there are 3 of those fuse boxes in this automobile. KK4JBQ.
Hey, I hate that you rode around with your radio not working because of a blown fuse. But you're absolutely correct there. They're making those things smaller and smaller. Oh gosh, the fuses in my big truck when I was driving before I retired, they had little blade fuses. We call them blade fuses. I don't know what the proper nomenclature is for them, but I called them a blade fuse because they had 2 little blades that you stuck down in there. And instead of them being about 3/4 of an inch wide, they were less than 1/2 inch, across, and then they were about, maybe 1/8 of an inch thick. And you had to use that little tool to take them out, and like you said, you actually needed it to put them back in. But I got me a pair of needle nose pliers, and I put them in my truck for it. If I blew a fuse, I'd reach in there with them needle nose. Because I could handle them better than I could handle those that little plastic tool that they came with to pull the fuses out and put them back in with. You know, I could use my needle nose pliers a lot easier than I could use them others. But I guess I got fortunate because I didn't short anything out. Of course, you always that possibility of sticking a metal tool down in a fuse box.
They make these fuse boxes, it's right down in the engine compartment, and they're accessible. There are so many electronic things in automobiles today. It is amazing, still amazing, how much. This was a 20-amp fuse. A 20-amp fuse. I have a 20-amp fuse for my mobile rig, right? But it's at least 4 or 5 times bigger. So when I saw this thing, when I pulled it out, I mean, of course, I was aware that it was going to be smaller just from the first look. But I had no idea it was just so tiny that you had to have tweezers to take it out, put it in. Don't have one of those, so I'll be going to the dealer to get one, maybe a spare. Don't know if it costs $14 for the fuse. Who knows? You know, if it's that much for hamburgers these days. And I thought, you know, when when you were talking earlier about the cost of fast food, for real now, my first job was at McDonald's back in 1970. So, gracious me, that's a lot of years ago. But they're paying people differently these days. Back in 1970, I think it was $1.23 an hour. And I could hardly get by on that. But today, well, it's anybody's guess, but it's much, much, much more. So your regular hamburger, fries, and a drink, I can't imagine that I would... who is happy about that? It's got to be the people that work there. And I wouldn't begrudge anybody making a living wage. But the minimum wage is just, God, it's just outrageously compared to, you know, dollar and a quarter. Sometimes I think, Gary, that we live too long. Modern science has made it possible for us to live easily into our 6th, 7th, and 8th decade. But if changes come so fast, and especially the cost of everything, you know, if it comes so fast, there's just no chance to make an adjustment in your brain. You know, it's quite something to deal with, isn't it? KK4JBQ.
The cost of living has gone up. Just something terrible as far as you and I are concerned. Gosh, you know, when I was little, you could buy a very fancy automobile, you know, a very high-end automobile, you know, for $5,000 or $6,000. My father-in-law, I think, when they bought their house, one of their houses, he paid about $9,000 for a house that had a full basement. And, I don't know what that thing would sell for today, probably $250,000 or something of that nature. Oh, my goodness, yeah. What we pay for cars and trucks now, people used to buy houses for less. So, that's the difference between when we were growing up and when the kids are growing up today, you know, what they have to look forward to. So, of course, a dollar back then was a lot of money. You know, I could go out and go on a date on a Saturday night, go to the movies, take my girlfriend, put gas in my vehicle, buy two tickets to get in the theater, buy popcorn and something to drink, and then probably, go to the hamburger place or something, drive in, I wouldn't spend $10 all weekend, and that's on Saturday and Sunday both. I could do most of that with $5 and still have a little change in my pocket. You can't do that anymore.
No, sir, you can't do that anymore. KI4DOS. KK4JBQ. I think also one of the things that I reflect on quite often because of just the event of running out of gas on a date. And it was strictly because the situation was such that I put $2 of gas in the car. I mean, we just go out and we watch the meter on the pump. It'd roll up to $2 and we'd let go of the pump right then and there because we hadn't brought along much more than $2. And that's supposed to, for me, that would get me to work all week and it would cover date night, but not anything more. You just had to keep track of and plan your life based on, you know, what was possible. And $2 worth of gas each week was what I put in the car. It was a small car. And yet I could still run out of gas every once in a while. I ran out of gas once with not just my date, but her best friend. And, you know, we just piled around at that time, you know, that a date was just, you know, a drive out to a movie or something like that, and they were charging a quarter to get into the movie. It sounds awful. I know how this must sound to younger people, but it's absolutely true. That was an awful night when I ran out of gas with two females in the car, and that meant two daddies at home waiting on their little girls. Oh, my goodness. I'll never forget getting out of that trap. KK4JBQ.
COS and a Blue Ridge 2-meter net. With JK4JBQ, Mr. Larry over there in Greer. Well, Larry, that doesn't sound like much, but a dollar and a quarter an hour. And, $2 for gas was a lot of money. That was almost 2 hours' work. And, if you look at the price of gas and you look at the minimum wage, gas is cheap now compared to when it was when we were growing up. But there again, well, it wasn't cheap, but ours not cheap now. But I can remember buying gas, because at the gas stations there were so many different varieties. You had Crown and Sinclair and Exxon and Shell and, oh gosh, the list just goes on and on and on. But there were so many different ones, and you'd have, four different gas stations on one corner, and they'd have gas wars between the four of them. One guy would drop his down from 20 cents a gallon to 19 cents a gallon, and people would flock over there for a penny. And then the next another station would drop his down, the next penny. And I think about the cheapest that I bought gas was, around 15 cents a gallon. Well, it was either 15 or a little bit less. And I knew I bought it for 15 cents a gallon.
Yeah, I do recall that my dad had something that he repeated quite often through the years. Because unfortunately, we can the tales that we tell don't change that much. We learn them one way, you know. And they don't change that much, but the times do change. Let's say there's been 20, 30 years maybe since you've been telling it for 20 or 30 years, I should think. And you use those same figures. The concept of money is very fluid. But numbers, you remember that. They don't lie. You know, a one is a one, a two is a two. And when people who are in their sixth, seventh, or eighth decade of life, they've got stories to tell. And it really was that way. And it wasn't so much the amount as what the details of the story. They wouldn't change no matter what the monetary exchange rate might be. running out of gas is running out of gas. You don't do that with some modern cars. They just don't take to that. Can really do a number on an engine, I believe. But back then, with a simple internal combustion engine that pushed us around, it was no never mind. It was just, well, in the case of the incident that I spoke of, it took 4 hours of time past the time I had promised to get my girls home. 4 hours. Now, don't you know, there was a price. There was a big price for that. Never forget it. But I ran out of gas a few times. Only a few, but a few times in that car. And it was because $2 every time I stopped. You know, gasoline stations were abundant, yes. But you get out in the country and, well, gracious. They weren't peppered like they are in the suburbs. And that night we walked for 3 hours before we found a house. Now, not just a house, but a house with a telephone. It was a different day. KK4JBQ.
4DOS and Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Well, there you're absolutely right. And, back then, you know, we didn't have cell phones and we didn't have this and we didn't have that. I get tickled at people nowadays. They say, well, you know, my engine in my car is not like it was back then. Yes, it is. The basic internal combustion engine is exactly the same. Now, that being said, you've got a crankcase, you've got pistons, you've got a spark plug or an injector, some form of what you're going to call the spark. And, you got fire and gas or fuel and air, and they still work the same. Now, do they get better fuel mileage now than they used to with old points and condenser and stuff like that? Sure they do, but now they're computer controlled, you know. And used to, our computer was our big toe. And we had manual fuel pumps and all kinds of stuff like that. And it was a whole lot easier to run out of gas with a manual fuel pump than it is with the electric ones we got today. But you're right about running out of gas with today's type of delivery system. Sometimes it takes a good long while to get the gas system charged back up. I know I try my best not to run out of gas in my pickup. It's got an electric fuel pump, which is down inside the tank. So I keep at least a quarter of a tank of gas in my truck all the time to keep the fuel pump covered, because the gasoline cools the fuel pump. And if you run it down to the tank's almost dry, that fuel pump gets hot and it won't last as long. So there's you know, give and take on all of it. But as far as the internal combustion engine, it's exactly the same engine. If you take today's engine and you take all the computer stuff off, put your distributor and a set of points in there and a carburetor on top of it, it'll run.
KI4DOS, KK4JBQ. Well, yeah, you give a measured amount of gasoline a spark. Oh, yeah. The inevitable is going to happen. But it's all that other stuff that surrounds it. And I think about whenever I think of fuel economy and the differences in cars. Donna drives a little hybrid car, a little Prius. This is her second one, and I think her next one will be the same thing because she's so pleased with it. I find, even when I ride in the passenger side of the car, I find it's like being in a spaceship. The instrumentation is wild. It really is, and it tells you more than you need to know about everything that's going on in the car. And it's on a big panel, a big display panel. It's partly electric, you know, being a hybrid. And so when it's kind of eerie when you move off the mark, stopped at a traffic signal or something like that, you move off the mark, there's no sound at all. And you're rolling pretty good before the engine ever turns on. From what I understand, they really got this worked out as far as the hybrid system is concerned. Now, let me go to the end of the line here, because all of that stuff probably not interesting to some people. But the fact is that for the lifetime of the car that I own, there is a cumulative number for the average over time miles per gallon, and it was under 20 miles per gallon for fuel. And Donna's car is over 50. Now that's an improvement, I would say. It's 51 point something miles per gallon over all the terrain that she travels. And that's just fascinating, just absolutely fascinating. So it is more economical, it is cleaner burning, and, you know, better, yes. But I wouldn't trade my big SUV for this little car that she drives around. It's comfortable and everything, but the difference, you feel like you're really squeezed in there. You know, because of the passenger compartment. And I've been in some larger automobiles that I felt like I'm in the next car over. You get this, you know, this feeling in your gut, you know. I'm in the next car over. I'm so far away from the driver, and I'm just over there in the passenger seat. But there's this wide expanse. My sister, before she passed, was fond of Lincoln automobiles. Now, you know, that's a luxury car make, and she wouldn't drive anything else. She was a little girl. She was a tiny little girl. And you'd see her, she had to sit on pillows. And, yeah, anyway, she got lost in the whole thing. It's kind of you know, thank you for bringing that thought back, because whenever I think of my sister now that she's gone, in whatever way, it's good to do that. It's good to remember. Anyhow, Gary, we've been talking for quite a while now, over a half hour, and it's always a pleasure. Now, this big holiday coming up, it means a great deal to a lot of people. It should mean a great deal to everybody, but it certainly does mean a great deal to a lot of people. We should be thankful each and every day. But here we are. We're going to celebrate as a nation, all of us together, in one way or the other. Happy Thanksgiving to you, Gary, and to your family, and to everyone listening. I'll let you go now. It's been my pleasure to be here. We'll do this again real soon. KI4DOS and Blue Ridge 2-Meter Net, this is KK4JBQ. Goodbye. 7-3.
Hey, will you take care? Appreciate you hanging in there and talking with us a little bit this evening. Enjoyed it, as always. Please tell Miss Donna we said hello, and y'all have a happy Thanksgiving tomorrow. And, I know all about them big cars. Joy's mom, at one point, she told her husband, daddy, she said, said something about a new automobile, and she said, I want a Cadillac, and if I can't have a Cadillac, I don't want anything. Well, somehow or other, he came home with a great big old huge Cadillac. One of the older ones, when you and I were growing up, you couldn't put them in today's parking spaces. That's how big it was. But that thing rode like a dream. You got in there, you didn't hardly know you were moving, and you didn't feel any bumps or anything. I remember the big cars, and I remember the little ones. I'm sure you remember when Toyotas first started coming into the country. Before them, they had Renaults and a few cars like that. Yeah, a few sports cars, but when the inexpensive sedans and started coming in, the Renaults and the Toyotas and the Datsuns and that sort of thing started coming. They were little bitty at the time. And now they're gone full size. So, who knows what's going to happen next. Larry, you have a wonderful Thanksgiving tomorrow. Enjoy talking with you, and we'll do it again soon. 7-3, my friend. If we have additional check-ins, always read the alphabet for Blue Ridge 2-Meter Net. Call KI4DOS. Anyone for comments, or is there anyone else that would like to make a comment? Call KI4DOS. I'll submit my net report here electronically, and then we'll close the net out. Got a grand total of 57 tonight. Appreciate each and every one of you out there in Radio Land. Y'all come back again tomorrow night, and Mr. Matt, WG4MC, will be calling. Give him a good dose of Rider's Cramp. This is KI4DOS, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-Meter Net, where our thanks for all those folks checked in with us. We will now return the repeater to normal amateur use. 73, good night, God bless. This is KI4DOS, clear.